My presentation focuses on the human resources undergirding the emerging post-industrial society and asks whether or not our economy can function effectively in the information age. My submitted paper makes three major points. First, the gap between the skills required to enter the information age and the actual skills of the labor force continue to widen. Secondly, one impact of this is that low-skilled workers have had an increasingly difficult time finding work. Thirdly, as a result, downward pressure has been placed on wages of low-skilled workers and economic inequality has increased. Let me take each in turn. The gap between skill requirements and skill levels. A good idea of the skill requirements can be gained by examining the changing mix of occupations and skills of those who are employed. Table 1 of my submitted paper shows that the cognitive and people skills reflected in our changing occupational structure are rising and the manual skills required of our labor force are falling. This should not be surprising. Some notion of the actual cognitive skills possessed by the labor force can be gained from the National Adult Literacy Test, which asks a representative sample of American adults to perform tasks requiring particular skills. Table 2 of the submitted paper shows some of these results. The cognitive skills, in other words, the reading, information processing, and quantitative abilities, are roughly the same for the youngest three-decade cohorts, which suggests that such knowledge has not greatly changed in the last 30 years. Results from the National Assessment of Educational Progress, a test given to 17-year-old kids in school, yields the same results. Further, the average scores are low. 2/5 of all adults cannot interpret information from an appliance warranty. They cannot identify information from a bar graph. They cannot use a calculator to determine the difference between regular and sale prices. The information revolution will pass by these people because they will not be able to process effectively the information that they receive. Knowledge is free, but it's still a scarce factor of production. Second, declining employability of larger segments of the labor force. If demand for a labor force with high cognitive skills is rising, while the supply is stagnant, at some point both unemployment and the share of the population not in the labor force should begin to increase. Between 1950 and 1990, average unemployment was about 5.7%. But the trend was upward. Further studies have revealed that the share of prime-age male workers in the labor force has decreased since 1965. In both cases, the share of the unemployed or those not working are predominantly those with low skills. The problem of these low-skilled workers in obtaining employment is not made easier by the increasing competition against low-skilled immigrants, and it should be noted that a rising share of legal immigrants have less than a 12th grade education. Illegal immigrants appear to have even lower average educational levels. It's possible, of course, to put these low-skilled workers in low-tech factories, but these are not viable against the import competition. This is not a viable solution. Three. Increasing inequality of wages, total income, and wealth. With greater competition for jobs requiring few skills, it seems reasonable to expect that real wages for these low-skilled jobs will decline relative to jobs requiring high skills. And this, as we all know, is exactly what's happening. Moreover, it seems reasonable to expect that this increasing wage inequality will bring about an increasingly more unequal distribution of income, and as shown in Table 3 of my submitted paper, this is also happening. Other approaches toward income inequality show the same results. People have tried to take into account family structure, or they focused on consumption. They've tried to look at average incomes of families over a decade and compare that with the next decade. And all of these studies show the same result, and that is in the last couple of decades, inequality, economic inequality has increased and economic class lines appear to be hardening. Of course, let me conclude. Of course, many of the economic trends that will influence our 21st century economy are favorable, and I did not come here to tell you that it's midnight in America. Nevertheless, the electronic techno-utopia of this digital age does not seem to be sustainable for the population as a whole if the three trends I have described continue. This is because the growing economic and social inequalities and the widening gap of the life chances of different segments of our population are bound to lead to increased social tensions and increased social disorder. This committee deserves compliments on beginning hearings about the future of our economy. I am most grateful for the opportunity to discuss some of my ideas with you and to present the paper. I strongly hope that these hearings will lead to further hearings about our economic future that focus on what Alvin Toffler described as our knowledge strategy. May I suggest that you focus at least one set of these hearings on problems concerning the match between labor skills needed in the coming decades and the current skills of our labor force to see what can be done. Thank you very much.